Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. Mark chapter 2. We have in store for with us a powerful area of Scripture and a powerful message that God has for us. So if you have need of a Bible, raise your hand so you can follow along with us. Again, we are in Mark chapter 2, the first verse. Mark chapter 2, let's bow our hearts, ask God to bless our time in His Word. Father, I've made a commitment that every time we open Your Word, we'll pause and give You thanks. For myself alone, I can't imagine what life would be like without the Bible. Can't imagine how we would understand truth without Your Word. And so, God, we don't take this time lightly. We don't take it for granted, even though we can do it, and we do come here every single Sunday morning to read Your Word. But, Lord, I pray it's more than just on Sunday mornings. I pray that not only would we fall in love with You, but that we would fall in love with the Scriptures that teach us the power of our God, the faith of our God, the forgiveness of our God, and the love that He has for each and everyone in this room. As Jordan said so well, that we all need to surrender our lives to Christ. And so I pray that in this room, there would be filled all people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is anyone here this morning that doesn't have that relationship with You, God, I pray that today would be the day that they open their hearts to You and they invite You in, that You can begin to do miracles in their life. For that's what Your Word tells us. Miracles will follow those who believe. So God, we confess this morning, we believe. Teach us now as we read Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1999, a doctor told me that I might have cancer. Obviously, that was devastating news to receive. No one ever wants to receive that kind of diagnosis. They informed me that they would need to do some more tests to be sure, to be certain of what was going on in my body. And when I told one of my friends after I exited the doctor's office, I called up one of my friends after I had told my wife, obviously. I called one of my friends, and as I told him what the doctors had just told me, he was on his way to work, and he literally said he had to pull off onto the side of the road because it just broke his heart that he had received this news of his friend. But the thing about my friend is he's a prayer warrior. And within moments, he and I were both bowing our heads, bowing our hearts to the Lord, praying that God would be with me, that He would heal me, that He would protect me. And that's exactly what God did for me. And so it's good to have people in our lives that are willing to take us to the Lord and to pray to God for to do the miracles, to do the miraculous. It was only a few days later, I had another friend going with me to have an ultrasound, to the first test to figure out if I truly did have cancer. On our way up to the building, my friend looked at me and he said, "You seem so calm." I said, "I am calm because God has given me an amazing peace. I belong to Him and my life is in His hands and I'm trusting in Him to do whatever He wants to do. If I have cancer, if I don't have cancer, He's still going to be with me. It doesn't change the outcome." That was where I was in my walk with God. And my friend looked at me and goes, "Man, if this was me, I'd be freaking out." Which, now that I think about it, I probably brought the wrong friend with me. But I will say this. It was a testimony to that man of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It was a testimony that in the midst of a major storm, that peace can be there. And that is what God gave me in that season of my life. He gave me an amazing amount of peace. Glad to say I'm standing here before you. They removed the tumor, and it was cancer, but I don't have cancer. I never did a day of radiation. I never took a stick of chemotherapy, and God has sustained me. To the glory of God. I believe He touched my life. I believe He did that in my life. But it was one of those times where I had to trust in God. I had to trust that in what the Word says, right? The faith of a mustard seed. If you just have that much faith, I don't know about you, but maybe this morning you're here and you're saying, I don't have a lot of faith. I only have a little bit of faith. Good news, that's all you need, is a little bit of faith to believe and to be able to see miracles happen, not only in your life, but in someone else's life. So what about you this morning? Are you here this morning and either you or someone you know has been diagnosed with cancer? Are you here this morning and your finances are a wreck and you don't know where you're going to get enough money to pay your rent or to pay your bills? Are you here this morning and you're so stressed out at work because of all the deadlines and all the responsibilities and all the projects that you got going, you just don't know how you're going to get through another week? And unless God reaches down and touches your life, unless God Almighty from heaven reaches down and does something in your life, you don't know what's going to happen. Are you that person this morning? Because I'm telling you right now, those three stories that I just shared, each one of them is happening to a person sitting in this room today. And I'm not just saying generally because of this many people, the odds are good that those things are happening. I'm telling you, I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's someone struggling with cancer. There's someone that's in financial burden, and there's someone that's so stressed out in this room that they just don't know how they're going to make it another day. They want to quit. They want to give up. And unless God does something, there's no hope. That is the thing that we have, isn't it? When it comes to faith, and I'm talking about amazing faith, I'm talking about faith to believe that God can do the absolute impossible and that God might just do it today. Isn't that the faith that we should have as believers? Isn't that the faith that we see written in the pages of our Bibles? People that believed in God to do the miraculous and he did it? Oh, we've all prayed, and I'm not saying you just got to keep on. It's all dependent upon your faith, and if you don't have enough faith, you're not going to get healed. No. It's believing that God can, and if he chooses to, he will. And if he doesn't choose to, guess what? He'll still be with you. He'll still walk with you every step of the way. That's the kind of faith that we have to have, my friends. Last week, my wife shared the announcements, and she shared a scripture out of the book of Habakkuk. And it so perfectly fits with today's message. I wanted to share it. I wanted you to see it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls," don't change it. Notice what that just said. Everything is going wrong, isn't it? Everything is not doing what it's supposed to do. Everything in this prophet's life is going, something is not right. Actually, everything is not right. Have we ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where it didn't seem like anything was going right? And you had absolutely no hope? This is despair, my friends. This is life. This is what happens every single day we wake up and go, it could be the best day, it could be the worst day, we don't know. But thank God for verse 18. Thank God for verse, there it is. Listen to this and take this with you. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." This is a Job story, isn't it? Everything's going wrong. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." This is the hope that we have in God. Everything in life is going bad, but God is always on my side. Praise God. Do you know what this verse literally says? When it says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation." Listen to this. Literally it says, "I will jump for joy in the Lord. I will spin around for delight in God." See, this isn't just being happy. This isn't just being at peace. No, this is so exciting to say, I belong to God. I am under the grace of God. I am a child of God, and I'm an heir to the King. God can do the amazing thing, and I'm going to rejoice in him. I'm going to be so overjoyed in my relationship with God. If you're here today and you're living in fear and anxiety and stress and depression, I've got an answer for you that's going to make your day. Spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, getting in his word and saying, God, give me a verse because I need some hope. I need some encouragement. I need some faith to believe that you can do the impossible, that you can change my circumstances at any moment. That's the hope that we must have. And I'm calling that amazing faith. And that's what I want to talk about today. Amazing faith. Because the story we're going to read in Mark's Gospel, the second chapter, is an amazing faith story. We've all heard it. It's very, very popular. But read with me, and if you will, Mark chapter 2 in verse 1 says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" What a story. What a place for us to be as believers, in a place where we witness the power of God and go, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this." Have your eyes beheld a miracle of God where you to go, "I have never seen anything like this"? When we talk about miracles that God does, when we talk about healings, when we talk about God doing the impossible, these are things that we have never seen before. And I don't blame the scribes for wondering what the heck is going on. This had never, ever happened before. Again, they've been watching Jesus healing demon-possessed and sick and casting out unclean spirits, and so they've been witnessing these miracles. But here Jesus is saying, "Your sins are forgiven." And they're like, "Whoa, who does that? Only God can do that." I love that they never even considered that possibly God was standing in the room with them. Maybe that's a reminder for all of us that sometimes we need to remember that God is standing in the room with us. Do you believe God is here this morning? Do you believe that the Spirit is here this morning, that Jesus' very presence is here this morning, and he wants to speak to you? He wants to touch your life? He wants to encourage your faith to believe that he can do something that you need him to do? That might just be enough. It's interesting to me that Jesus, these guys bring their friend to Jesus for healing, right? I mean, Jesus has been healing. In fact, if you remember from last time, you know, after Jesus had done a bunch of healings, he got up early in the morning and he went out and prayed to God, and Peter and the boys were trying to find him. "Where are you, Lord? Everybody's looking for you." He had just had this amazing experience the day and night before of all these healings and all of these casting out of demons, and the crowds were showing up early saying, "Hey, I want to be healed." And Peter goes, "Come on, everybody's waiting for you." And what does Jesus say? He goes, "I need to be going into other towns. Listen, to preach the word." It's so vitally important that the first thing that we receive as believers is the word of God. Because that's what Jesus is doing. Did you catch it? He says in verse 2, "Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them." Talk about a Bible study. This place was packed. "Not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." I know I sound like a broken record as a pastor, but it is so vitally important that you read the scriptures every single day. Not because you have to, because you need to. You see the difference? God isn't saying, "Read my word because that's the requirement I have for you to be gracious to you." He's saying, read my word, because there are so much promises in there, so many treasures in there, that you need that word in you in order for it to come out of you, in order for you to believe it, and to really just embrace the word of God. So Jesus, again, coming into this house where all the people are, he doesn't just start healing them, he starts giving them the word. Are you getting the word of God in you on a regular basis? Again, not a yoke of burden over you. Not like at the end of the day, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Pastor Rob would be mad at me. No. I would hope at the end of the day, if you forgot to open the scriptures, you'd be like, ah, I forgot to feed my spirit. Man, I had a great breakfast, I had a wonderful lunch, and dinner was amazing. But I forgot to feed my spirit. Because in order for your spirit to be strong, you got to have the word of God. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's preaching the word. He's preaching to them. And I believe with all every ounce of my being that he's preaching a message that's convicting their hearts. I half believe that the message was in such a way that these four guys said, we need to bring our paralytic friend here. We need to believe. And that's what they do. So the word of God is being brought to them. We need to learn that the word of God is there to speak to us and to equip us to be faithful, to have that amazing faith. Faith doesn't just come magically, right? We have an opportunity as believers to be filled with the word of God, certainly for ourselves, but also for others. Do you see? These four men carry their paralytic friend, bringing them to Jesus. Four of them, working together, cooperating, bringing their friend to Jesus. We get to participate in those types of things. We get to participate in helping bring people to Jesus if we have the faith that that's what they need, right? We talked last week, when we get sick, is the first thing we look for is Tylenol? Or is the first thing we look for is God, touch my body, heal me? It's a great reminder. See, in these days, you got to remember, there was no other option. There wasn't Williamson Medical Center. There wasn't a Vanderbilt. There wasn't an MD Anderson that they could take their friend to get the healed. No, they took them to Jesus. Jesus was their only option. Is Jesus your only option? We live in a world where there's too many options. Too many options and other things that we could do before we ever give God a chance. See, when I had cancer, my wife, she gets on the internet. Back then, I don't think the internet was as good as it is today, but she got on the internet. Cancer, melanomas, what do you got to do? Eat organic. Back in 99, organics were not as popular as they are today. In fact, I don't think the bathroom was as big as the organic store that we had in South Florida. I walked in there, I said, this is it? I'm going to starve to death. This is all we're going to eat? I mean, she cleaned the house out, right, type of thing. And after I had my operation, the doctor said, well, we want you to do chemotherapy. And so after my operation, I was healing, and so I'm thinking about this. They want me to do chemotherapy, okay. Let me think about this. And the more she did research, the more she prayed, the more I was seeking the Lord, I really felt like they'd removed the tumor. I didn't have any traces of cancer left. They were just doing chemotherapy as kind of a byproduct. And I'm thinking, if my wife is researching this organic way of eating and building my immune system so that our bodies can be strong, I'm thinking, why would I want to go man's way first and God's way second? And I said to her one day, I said, babe, I would really like to not do the chemotherapy. I would just like to build up my immune system. I believe God designed our bodies to fight cancers. And she goes, I've been praying the same thing, and I was hoping you'd come to that conclusion. And I really appreciated that in her, because she wasn't going to just put her opinion out there to make me sway. She was waiting for God to show it to me. And I believe God honored that simple little faith, saying, God, I want to put you first. I want you to do this work. So Jesus was their only option. Bringing their friend to Jesus was what they had to do. And so that's what they did. They brought their friend to Jesus because there was no other option for them. They carried them. Think about that too. It's not like, hey, my friend, get the wheelchair, right? There's no wheelchairs. There's no ambulance. It took four friends because, who knows? That's how much it took to carry the guy, right? They, four against, working together which I think is so very important that we as a body of believers work together in the things that we do. You know, prayer requests come in. The more people you can get praying for your situation, the better off you are. Right? My situation, when I went through it back June of 2013, this whole church was praying. There were people on the other side of the planet that were praying for me. I mean, the more people that can be praying, the better. Don't ever try to do it on your own. Here, the paralytic, he couldn't get to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. Sometimes we think we can't go to Jesus, and maybe it takes some of our friends to help us bring us to Jesus, to bring us to the Lord. Who knows? Sometimes you get to be a part of what God's doing. Sometimes you get to be a part of showing someone else what it is to be faithful. You know, Jordan's testimony this morning was wonderful. And I'm honored to know that God used me and Pastor RJ and other people in this church to show him the power of God. But it's not us. It's not us. It's not me. I was just reminded this morning, and we're going to close here pretty quickly. Thanks, Jordan. Love you, buddy. I was just reminded this morning that I bet it was, what, 5 or 6 years ago? That I was down in South Florida with some friends. And we were at it was a toy ride. It was a motorcycle ride that they do for kids at Christmas time. And we went to Children's Hospital. We went to the Children's Hospital. We got to, you know, pray over the kids, meet with the kids. There was an artist there that was singing with the kids, and all these opportunities to interact with these kids. But there was this one girl who couldn't come, so we ended up going to her, and she had leukemia. And there were, was it tumors all in her, lesions all in her chest? Small child. How old was she at the time? I forget. 3. Gosh, it's been, I'm so glad you reminded me of this. She was 3 years old, and it just certainly broke my heart. So we go in, and we meet with the girl, and we decide, you know, I decide, let's pray over her. And literally, I lay my hands on her. I ask, can I put my hand on her head? She's a 3-year-old child. I want to pray over her. And we prayed. And before we left, we found out she had gone to the doctor and all the lesions were gone. The next day. Yeah, she should have gave the testimony. The point is, I don't remember it because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the power of God. It's about it wasn't my prayer. It wasn't because I said something right or we were in the right place or we hadn't been sick, whatever. It was just faith in God that, God, you can heal this child and I pray that you do. And he did that quickly. That's the kind of faith. That's amazing faith in an amazing God. Do you have that kind of amazing faith? That faith that endures whatever it is. Because listen, In chapter 1, it said that they brought all the sick and all the demon-possessed to Jesus, and the very next verse says, and he healed many of them. I couldn't get over that. It doesn't say, and he healed all of them. God doesn't always heal us of what we want. I think it's interesting that this paralytic came to Jesus to be healed, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I'd be like, and? There's more, right? But here's the reality. If he had left him with his sins forgiven, he would have had enough. Amen. He would have had enough. Because healing doesn't get you to heaven. Miracles don't get you to heaven. Your sins being forgiven by Jesus get us to heaven. We'll be healed one day. Amen? One day we're going to, no more cancer, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. That's heaven. So the greatest thing that Jesus did for this man was heal him of his sins. And the scribes sit there and go, who is this guy to heal sins? What's he think, he's God? Yeah, he does. And in fact, he is. And thankfully, Jesus in his grace says, just so you hard-hearted scribes understand, I'm going to heal him too. I believe he healed that man, not for the man. He healed him for the scribes. And sometimes we need to be satisfied in the condition that we are until Jesus wants to heal us, until he wants to do that work in our lives. Guys, it's amazing faith to believe an amazing God can do amazing things. There were four men that carried this paralytic, and I want you to see this little thing that I want you to write down. It says, to get to the goal, you have to help carry the weight. To get to the goal, you have to help carry the weight. We all carry things in our own lives. We all have burdens. We all have things that we're asking God to do. But maybe God wants us to participate in someone else's burden. Maybe God wants us to participate in helping someone else get closer to Jesus. Because as we get them closer to Jesus, guess what? We get closer to Jesus as well. And what I love about these four is they find that when they get there, there was an obstacle in their way. There was a crowd. Thank God they didn't just go, oh, we'll never get to Jesus. Let's go home. We'll try another day. They were persistent. Amazing faith is persistent and to find a way to get to Jesus. These guys go up the stairs, up in the roof. Oh, there's no hole in here. They dig a hole in the roof and they drop Jesus, or this paralytic, down to Jesus. So we don't let obstacles get in our way. We get people to Jesus. We come to Jesus. And then finally, I love this last picture. They dropped him down into Jesus. And they stayed in the background. It's important for us to help others get to Christ, to sometimes get out of the way. It's not us. It's all about Jesus. And in the midst of this, Jesus heals this man and does an amazing work. And the whole thing goes, we have never seen anything like this before. What do you need God to do in your life? What do you need God to do in your life so that you get to the point and go, I've never seen you do anything like this, Lord. This is amazing. That's amazing faith, believing amazing God can do amazing things. This week, stretch your faith. Maybe it's you that you need to reach out. I think the paralytic said, hey guys, could you carry me to Jesus? And maybe we need to reach out to some of our friends and say, hey, could you help me get a little bit closer to God? Could you help me believe a little bit more? And if there's obstacles, don't let them get in your way. Find your ways around them and see God do a miracle in your life. That's what he wants to do. We don't do this for the miracles. We don't do this for the healings. We do this because that's what God wants to do. Sometimes God wants to show off on us. Let him show off. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you have shown us to have amazing faith. Like these five men who come to Jesus. None of them are even named. Because it's not about them, it's about you, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you challenged these scribes and that you forgave this man of his sins first, because it teaches us a lesson that we need to be repentant. We need to be on our knees before you asking for forgiveness for the sins in our lives, because before you can heal us, you need to restore us to right relationship with you. I pray for every single person in this room that if they're dealing with an unforgiven sin right now, God, I pray that they would give that over to you right this very moment. That in their mind's eye, they're saying, Lord, forgive me of that sin. Forgive me of that doubt. Forgive me of that thought. Forgive me of my anger and my pride. God, heal me of my sins. And then touch me, Lord. Raise me up like you did this paralytic. Raise me up to be a testimony for you, God. So I pray that you would fill us all with the Holy Spirit, that this week we would get involved to help carry people's burdens and help them carry their weight, bringing them to you. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayer, that they would come forward and be prayed over and be prayed with. If there's anyone here that would like to come and receive the Lord, we'll pray with them to accept you as your Lord and, their Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Be with us the rest of this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.